Welcome to Gemara Markings Daf Yomi Tosfos Shiur Brachos Daf Mem Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf to view today's Mark Tosfos using the popular Gemara marking system similar to that used for the Daf Gemara. If you're not already familiar with our system, a thorough explanation is available by clicking on the Learn the System option. Today's Tosfos at the top of Daf Mem Hey Omid Aleph, in truth, we ought to have learned this Tosfos as part of our previous shiur on Daf Mem Dalet, as our Gemara Daf Yomi shiur had included this and the next Tosfos. But in view of the fact that we didn't learn it then, this is our opportunity to make it up. The Dibur HaMassal at the top, the Chankisei Umtza, this is referring to the Gemara that a person who drank water for some reason other than thirst. The Mishnah had mentioned that one who drinks water for thirst, he makes a bracha. So is there a form of drinking where you're not drinking for thirst? So the Gemara suggested, Rav Ini Barovin had suggested, well, one who is drinking water to dislodge something from his throat. The Chankisei Umtza, piece of meat got lodged in his throat and he's gagging on it, so the water will help relieve that. So Tosfos now says, "V'dafka mayim shein lo hano ki'im lishtos mayim litzomoi." It's only with regard to water that we say that water provides pleasure only when you're drinking it for relief of thirst. V'hano dechan kisei umsa ein ze nechshav hano. And the relief one has from drinking, from having the item dislodged, that he achieved through the drinking of the water, is not considered a form of pleasure warranting a brocha. Avol sh'ar mashkin shelo oilu maguf ne'ne mehem bechol inyan mevorech v'afilu chankasei umtza. Other beverages where a person will always have benefit or always have pleasure from them, a person will make a brocha on other beverages under all circumstances, even if he is taking it, even if he's drinking it to dislodge something that's in his throat. Kidamrin li al. As the Gemara said earlier, V'afa gavdil refua asi boy bruchi. The Gemara had mentioned that on a couple of occasions, where even though you're consuming something for its medicinal properties, but nevertheless, since it is a food item, you have pleasure from it, and you therefore must make a bracha. This, it would seem to be an appropriate source for people who are drinking things for the purpose of swallowing a pill. And here you might have a halacha lemaisa difference, that if you're using water to help you swallow a pill, so you wouldn't make a bracha. But if you're using, let's say, orange juice to help you swallow a pill, even though you're not thirsty whatsoever, but you do enjoy the orange juice, a person enjoys all other beverages, so even if you're taking it for drinking a pill, so you will need to make a bracha. Once again, we must remind you that when we are saying things in the course of our Gemara markings, shiurim, whether it be the Daf Gemara or the Limud of Tosfos, we don't intend to communicate actual halacha lemaisa, but rather we suggest ideas that each listener can pursue them on their own. The Tosfos continues, V'rav Amram Piresh, the Dafka Lefonav Lo Boy Bruchi, Avol Achrov Chayov. That when we say that you don't need to make a bracha on the water, and we'll have to assume in the case of Chankisei Umtza, so that's true with regard to the pre-bracha, but regard a final bracha, you will need to make a bracha. Rabbeinu Moshe Piresh Delohi. Rabbeinu Moshe disagrees with Rav Amram and says, not so, Dehoyel Veino Nene, since he is not enjoying it, he's not benefiting from it, he's not enjoying, he's not deriving pleasure from it, from the water, Afilu L'achrov Lo Bo'i Bracha. That Rabbeinu Moshe sees a connection between the Birchas Hanenin and the final bracha. The final bracha is made only under circumstances that you had hano'o initially. Rabbi Tarfon Omer Borei Nefoshos Rabois. In our Gemara, in our Mishnah, we saw a machlokis tanoim. What is the bracha on water? So the Tanakama said Shehakol, and Rabbi Tarfon says Borei Nefoshos Rabois. So Tosfos says Pirush Lefonov. The machloikis between Rabbi Tarfon and the Tanna Kamma is with regard to what is the first bracha, the bracha rishona that you make on water. Upok chozi mai amadabar, go out, when the Gemara said to resolve this particular machlokas, go out and see what the people's minig is. Dabar is what their noheg, what their minig is. Vinei nohu aylam leforech achrov. And behold, the people are noheg to make the borei nefashos bracha afterwards and not before it. So Tosfos is telling us that the machlokes Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachomim and the Tanakama was with regard to the bracha rishona, and Rabbi Tarfon's suggestion of borei nefashos rabos is in fact adopted, but only as the bracha achroina and not the bracha rishona. One should not say the following. So the following lasts a couple of lines in the Tosfos, and be aware, don't say this. And what is it? Don't say the pligi belachrov, that the machloks Tanakama and Reb Tarfon regards the issue of final, what happens afterwards. The Tanakama sover the mavarech lefana velo lachrov. The Tanakama would be of the opinion that there's a first bracha, pre bracha, but no final bracha. Rabbi Tarfon sover af laachrov yevorech borei nefoshes rabos, and then Rabbi Tarfon would be suggesting that, unlike the Tanakama, that not only beforehand there is a bracha, but afterwards you do make a bracha. You make borei nefoshes rabos. Let us then, for one moment, realizing you're not supposed to say that, but let's say that that was the pshat, that Rabbi Tarfon represents a shita, contrary to the Tanakama, that on water there is a final bracha. Let's just say that that's Rabbi Tarfon's point. He's coming to tell us that on water there is a final bracha, a borei nefashos. Well, if that were the case, the im kein, if that were so, ki porech li el, May Rav Papa Dimivorech, the Gemara back on Mem Dalet Omid Beis, which was discussing the top part of Mem Dalet Omid Beis, there was a presentation of things of shitos and food items that you make a brocha before, and things that you might not make a brocha afterwards. So, in the list of shitas that were spelled out there, it said that Rav Papa made a bracha even on water. So the Gemara had asked in the course of that Masu Maton, if you have Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis in front of you, you'll notice that there were a series of volcano shapes that were coming after a Tanaic source had said that there are things that you make a bracha before and you don't make a bracha afterwards. That's a Tanaic source. The Gemara says, well, what is Rav Papa going to do with that? When after all, Rav Papa, we saw in the upper part of the page, made a bracha rishona on all items, including water. In order to bring a bracha rishona and a bracha achrona, he would make a bracha before and a bracha afterwards. So then the Gemara said, well, this Tanaic source is a problem for Rav Papa, because Rav Papa is making a bracha before and after on water. And the Tanaic source, there are things you make a bracha before and you don't make a bracha afterwards. So the Gemara had presented the Tanaic source as a problem for Rav Papa. But now, think for a minute. If Rabbi Tarfon is of the opinion that on water, now Rabbi Tarfon is a Tana, and he's telling you that on water you shall make a final bracha, namely, borei nefoshes rabos, why does the Gemara feel that Rav Papa is such a difficult shita that you have to come on to, where the Gemara says, well, the Tanaic source there comes la fuke mitzvah, so Rav Tarfon will acknowledge that la mitzvah you have a bracha before and you don't have a bracha after. What the Gemara should have done at that point is say, that Tanaic source isn't a problem for Rav Papa. Rav Papa, who makes a bracha on water before and after, is based on another Tana. He's based on Rabbi Tarfon. So very nice, there's one source that says there's no bracha afterwards. That's not a problem for Rav Papa. Rav Papa is going like Rabbi Tarfon that says there is a bracha afterwards on the water. Yet, the Gemara on Mem Dalet didn't do that. It didn't say that. That shows us that to say pshat in Rabbi Tarfon when he says Bari Nefoshes Rabos, that's Rabbi Tarfon suggesting a brocha afterwards, is unfounded. So that's what Tosfos says here. It's very brief, but De'im Kane, if it were so that Rabbi Tarfon is suggesting Bari Nefoshes as a final brocha for water, ki porach li'el me Rav Papa de Mavorech. When the Gemara asks on Rav Papa from the Tanaic source back on Mem Dalam Ebeis, well, and it says, well, according to Rav Papa, so what is the Tanaic source Lafuke Mai? Simply You could have simply said Rav Papa is not a problem. The source isn't a problem for Rav Papa. Rav Papa is based on Rebbe Tarfon. But once again, the Gemara back on Mem Dalam did not say that. So that shows us conclusively, and that was many times in Rishonim, when you learn in Gemara, it's based, many things are concluded based on what the Gemara does not say. So the Gemara would never said that defense, gave that defense for Rav Papa. Hence, Pshat in Rabbi Tarfon is, like we said at the beginning, that Rabbi Tarfon's suggestion of Bari Nefoshes Rabos was not a final bracha suggestion, but rather it was the pre-bracha suggestion for water. The next Tosis is connected with the beginning of the new perek, of the seventh perek. Shlosha she'ochlu ka'achas. So we saw in our mission that three people that ate together, they must be mezamein, and we learned that they're not allowed to split up. So the Tosis, Shlosha she'ochlu ka'achas, b'yushalmi porach, hocha at amris, ein rashoyin l'chalek. V'hocha at amris chayovin lezamein. In other words, there are two sources. One says that three that ate together are not allowed to split up, and one says that three that ate together must have a zimun. V'ata l'chora ein ze koshe. At this point, there doesn't seem to be any problem. In other words, the Yerushalmi raises a problem. It doesn't seem that there's any problem. The Chaim Lekamon, Porich, and later in our Gemara, the Gemara will ask a similar question. Tanina Chadazinna, She'ein Rashoin Lechalek Hainu Mishum Dechayovin Lezamein. Why do you have to teach me that Shlosha She'ochel Keachod or Ein Rashoin Lechalek, when we already had in the opening Mishnah that says that Shlosha She'ochlu Keachod Chayovin Lezamein? We should point out that like Tosfos says, it's on Daf Nun Amud Aleph at the lower part of the page. The Mishnah there clearly says Shlosha She'ochlu Keachod Ein Rashoyin L'Chalek. So the Gemara there on Daf Nun says it would appear to be a redundancy. It would seem that what's bothering Tosfos is that the Yerushalmi, as well as the Gemara later on, raises a question, but it doesn't seem that there's something so difficult. Because even the Gemara, when it says Tanino Chadazinna, the Gemara on Daf Nun says that when the Mishnah says Shlosh Shochul Keachot Ein Rashoin L'Chalek, they cannot split up. Hainu Mishum D'Chayovin L'Zamein. It's an outgrowth of what we're learning over here. So it's a basic halach is taught in this Mishnah Shlosh Shochul Keachot Chayovin L'Zamein, and as a result of that, so Ein Rashoin L'Chalek. So why? What's difficult about this? In other words, why is the Yerushalmi posing this Mishnah and the Mishnah later on as seeming a question one against the other, and the Gemara later on as well is posing it as a Tanino Chadazimno style question? It was a very common question throughout the Shas on Mishnahs that seem to be redundant. So our job now, Tosfos is presenting to us to understand what is the question. V'li nire. The Hochi Porach. The following is what's bothering the Yerushalmi and our Gemara and the Gemara later on. Hocha at Amris de Ein Rashoin L'Chalek. On Daf Nun, the Mishnah says that if you three ate together, they can't split up. The Mashma Im Gomru Achidosin Yachad Einon Rashoin L'Chalek. if they finish their meal together, so they cannot split up. But one could finish his meal before his friends and say Birchas Hamazon before the others. So the Mishnah Daf Nun that says Shlosh Shachul Kechod Ein Rishon Lechalek is a very specific circumstance where they all finish together, but that would leave a room for allowing someone to finish early and bench early, and there'd be no problem with that. Even though at that point he would then leave two guys behind, and they wouldn't have a zimun. And yet, v'chayovin lezamein, which is the Mishnah here on Daf Mem Hey, mashma dechovas zimun alehem, that three people that ate together, the zimun obligation rests upon them, v'einon rashoyin ligmor sudasin zebelozeh, and that they cannot finish the meal one without the other, or like one before the other. So if you look at the way we've marked this Tosis with our dashed underline, that now we see a problem. One Mishnah, the Mishnah Daf Nun, connotes the option of finishing, of one guy finishing earlier before his friends, and the Mishnah here indicates not so. And that would be a contradiction. Umeshani Shmuel. Shmuel answers, Kan b'chilo, kan b'sof. When it says here, Umeshani Shmuel, this is a reference to Shmuel in the Yerushalmi, kan b'tchila, kan b'sof. That's what it says in the Yerushalmi. Ezu b'tchila, ve'ezu b'sof. The next line or two of Tosis will seem obscure, but he will explain it in the Hemshech, in the continuation of the Tosis. So in the meantime, just read a couple of lines and wait for him to explain it. So Shmuel answers that there is a way to resolve these two sources. One is betchila and one is basof. Ezu betchila basof. What does that mean? So pligi batre amoroi chadomar nosnu daitom leechol zeh betchila. Still, this is obscure. Don't worry. Ochlu kezayis zeh basof. V'chadomar ochlu kezayis zeh betchila nosnu daitom leechol zeh basof. For of alfis tofes derech rishon iker. The Hachi Pirusha. Now we'll get down to brass tacks and start explaining. Nosnu daitem lechol. Klomar. Shehischilu mitchilo lechol biyachad. A group of people started as a group to eat together. Zehu betchila. That's what the term betchila meant. And we saw that the first Chad Omar, where we have our double underlining, is just a few lines before in the Tosis where we said it was obscure. We're now explaining that. That Nosnu Daitem Lechol, that's called Betchila. A group of three people sat down together and started eating together. Oz Vadai Chova Zimun Aleim. Then the Chova Zimun is upon them. And that would be the circumstance where we say they cannot split up. They cannot, one cannot finish before the other and bench and go on his way. Ochlu kezayis zel besof. Klomar, what does that mean? Im ho'echod hischil kredim chaveru bekezayis. If they didn't eat together, they didn't start together. One person started eating on his own. And he ate an olive quantity of bread on his own. Oz Vadai, im gomru sosim yachayv lezavein. Then, if they actually finish together, so then, because they finish together, so they have to have a zimun. Avol, rashoyin ligmor zeh, shelo bezeh, zeh belo zeh, ulevorech. However, since they didn't begin together, if one wants to finish earlier than his friends and leave, he can do so. So, in fact, these two Mishnayos, shlosh shoch lechol chayim lezamein, and the Mishnah of Daf Nun, Shloshuch Shechol Kechod Ein Rashoyim Lechalek, have two different connotations because they are dealing with two different circumstances. The next Tosfos, Ochal Tevel Ein Mezamen Olov. The Mishnah mentioned a list of things that if one eats, so it's something he shouldn't have eaten, and therefore does not count as part of a zimun. Temo, the question is raised, the Omar Be'erchin, Hakol Mitztarfin Lezimun, Koyanim, Levim, Yisraelim. The Mishnah says in Erechin that everyone joins up to a Zimun, including Kohanim and Levim Yisraelim. They ate together, so they make a Zimun. Uporach Pshita, then the Gemara asks, that's obvious. Why shouldn't they be able to join together, Umishani? And the Gemara answers, Lo Tzricha, Afagav, the Koyin, Oichel Truma, Visra Chulin. The Chiddush is, even though the Kohen ate Truma, a substance, a type of food, that's the tithe given to the Kohen, a Yisrael is not allowed to eat Truma. And the Yisrael ate Chulin, that nevertheless they join up to form a Zimun. Almo, Afogav, the Truma Asur in Yisrael. What do we see there? Even though Truma is something forbidden to the Yisrael, Achresha Kohen Yochel Tzarfim Yisrael Lechol B'chulin, Mitzarfim L'Zimun. Since part of that meal is the Yisrael who happens to be eating Chulin, the Kohen could eat from the Israel's food. And since the Kohen can eat from the Israel's food, so they join together with the Zimun. The Hochanami, here too, in our case of Ochal Tevel, Nehi Dechad Minayu Ochal Tevel, granted, one of them ate Tevel. The Ein Roi Lacherim, it's not something that's fit for the others. Amai Ein Omezanin. Why does that preclude a Zimun possibility? Granted, he is eating something that the others cannot eat. Like the Kohen is eating something the others cannot eat, but the guy who's eating the Tevel could eat from what they're eating. The Yesh Loimar, we answer. The Achilas Tevel Lav Shmo Achila. The eating of Tevel is not considered an eating. It's different than a Kohen eating Truma. Why? The Lo Chazio Afle Kohen. Tevel is not fit for anybody, not even for the Kohen. So that in the case of someone eating Tevel, even vis-a-vis himself, he is eating something he shouldn't be eating. Avol Truma. But in the case of a Kohen eating Truma, L'chol HaPochos Ruyo L'Kohen Ha'ochla, it's something that's fit for the Kohen that is eating it. Mikan, we're going to be skipping the parentheses section. Mikan Hoya Omer Rabbeinu Yehuda. From here, Rabbeinu Yehuda used to say, he would conclude, the Shlosha She'ochlu Ve'echol Hoya Mudor Hano Min Hashnayim. Imagine, three people are eating together. One of the participants is someone that forswore benefiting from the others. For who, Ochel Mishelo, and he's eating from his own sandwich. Yochol Lehitztarif Imohem Lezimun. He can join with those other two guys for a zimun. Dinehi Deino Roy Lechol Imohem. Granted, he can't eat with them from their food. Heim Ruuyim Lechol Imo. They can eat from him. They can eat from his food. V'chein le'inyan hanizar mipashen ochri. Likewise, if you have a group of people, and one of them accepted upon himself the stringency of eating only pas Yisrael and would not eat what's called pas akum, bread baked by Gentiles. So he doesn't eat what they are eating. He's eating pas Yisrael. But they, the other people, the other two, could eat from what he is eating. So that there is a joining factor. And all of this is in distinction to the case of someone who ate tevel, which is a food substance that no one is allowed to eat from. Not only the others are not allowed to eat from, but the guy that's eating it isn't supposed to be eating it. Avolim, shloshim udorn hano mizeh mizeh, going off the case of the person who forswore benefit, in the case of Mudor Hano, if you have a case where the three people had forsworn benefiting one from the other, each one of the three people will not have Hano from the other one. Ein mitstarfin, they do not join up to form a zimun. Afopi shil choylim lishol al nidram, even though they could rescind the netter by going to a Talmud Chacham and having the netter voided. The hashtomiho lo itchilu. In the meantime, they have not rescinded the netter. They haven't been shoyal on the netter. So that the concept of zimun you see from this Tosfos is the ability, at least in potential, of one to join in the food of the other. So that's not just a mere function of three people that ate together, but there has to be more of an element of potential togetherness than the mere fact that they ate together. As you can see from this last case of three people that have, we'll say, isolated themselves one from the other, even though they're actually eating a meal together. But each one is eating from himself, so it's an effect of three individuals. We can say in this form that three individuals that conclude a meal together, but because they're so individualistic, they do not form a zimun. The Gemara had cited a couple of other halachas that would say non-zimun related halachas. And one of the halachas was, from where do we know that the metargame is not allowed to raise his voice more than the one who is reading from the Torah? The metargame was the person who would recite the targum after each pasuk was read in the original Hebrew. So someone would recite the targum, which we know as unklus. So our Gemara said, from where do we know that the metargame is not allowed to raise his voice more than the kore? And the Gemara offered as a source, the pasuk says, Moshe daber v'olkim yanenu b'kol. And she'en tamalom b'kol, the word b'kol seems extra. So what does the word b'kol mean? B'kol shel Moshe. Now, the Tosfos. B'kol shel Moshe, the Im Tomar, you might ask, Hechi maisi raya mi Moshe. How does the Gemara bring proof from Moshe to the point the Gemara was trying to make? The point the Gemara was trying to make was that the Metargame is not supposed to raise his voice louder than that of the reader. V'ha tzorich lasuye de Moshe hoya Metargame. What should have been is that Moshe was the Metargame. And that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't raising his voice louder than that of the Ribbono Shelom, who was the Kore. The who maybe, but the Gemara brings Shakodesh Baruch Hu Hoya Kore, U Moshe Hoya Mitargen. U Pirush Rav Alphas, Bekoilu Shel Moshe. The Rav Alphas, in explaining this Gemara, says that when the Gemara says, what do I need the word b'koil for? To tell me, b'koil shel Moshe. Mistama Moshe b'chol koicha hoya oine. It must be that Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking with all of his strength, kidei lashmir koil l'chol ha'om, so as to make his voice heard to the entire nation. Avo HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo haya tzarich lahorim koiloi, shrei lo haya medaber elo lemoshe levad. The Ribbono Shelom was not talking to the whole nation; he was talking only to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'afilu hachi haya magbia koiloi, but even so, the Ribbono Shelom raised his voice kedei shelo yehi koilo shel Moshe hametargem rom yoiser mikol shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu shaya korei. So Ribbono Shelom raised his voice to a decibel level that was equal to that of Moshe Rabbeinu, who was really, really shouting. So why was Ribbono Shelom striving to reach a decibel level equal to that of Moshe? So that you wouldn't have a situation of Moshe being louder, the metargame, Moshe the metargame being louder than the kore. And that's what the Gemara said, that the metargame should not be louder than the kore. But you don't see it so much from the metargame's efforts. This is the chiddush of the Rabbeinu of the Rif. But you see it more from the Kodesh Baruch Hu's efforts to prevent a case of Moshe the metargame being louder. The next Tosfos, Im Rotsu Lezamein, Ein Mezamnin. Here, the Gemara was dealing with two people that ate together. If two people want, so this line is from the Gemara that says, it's going on, there was a machlokis between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav, And one of them said, "Im rotsu lezamin, ein mezamnin." That if even if they should want to, they still cannot conduct the zimun. Pirush Rashi, v'chein l'inyan hamoitzi ushar brachos, ein ho'echad moitzi, ein ho'echad mevorach lehotzi chavero. Similarly, with regard to other brachas, not just brachas amazon, one should not say a bracha in order to exempt his friend. L'gabi ha de Omar Abaye, regarding this was in the context of that which Abaye says, naktinon shayim she'ochlu ke'achas mitzvah l'chalek u'levorech kol echod le'atzmo bein brachas amotzi bein brachas amazon. That's loshen Rashi l'kamon. That's what Rashi says later on Omid Beis, that Abaye, who says shnayim shochu kachas mitzvah lechalek, to eat together, it's a mitzvah for them to split up. This applies whether it be birchas hamazon or even the birchas hamotzi. Each one should say their own first bracha. Veloy nihira, but Tosis does not like this. And why not? Deliel perik ketsa mevorchin beuvda de bar kapora, in the incident involving bar kapora and the two students, where he served pargios and durmaskin, and it says in that gemara nosan bar kapora rishus leechod levorech ushnaim havu hasam. You see, bar kapora gave rishus to one of the tamidim to say the bracha, and there were two people there, so there was an issue of a first bracha, which was the story involving bar kapora, and one was going to say and exempt his friend. And furthermore, if there were three over there, lo hoyu sham ela peros. Furthermore, if there were three, sof kosof, the story involved some fruits, and you wouldn't have a zimun over fruits. The chenami amrin lekamon di al hamor echod mevorech lekulon, and likewise later in the eighth perek, it says that over the candle of Havdalah, one makes a bracha for all of them. So what do we see? We see, unlike Rashi, Rashi wanted to say that the idea of one being motzi others is not limited to birchas hamazon, but is a general rule that one should not say a bracha to be motzi others, with the exception of a formal zimun. And yet we see many examples of one making a pre bracha to be motzi others. Alkein nira li, the bebracha rishona. Therefore, Tosfos explains that with regard to a first bracha, pre bracha, motzien ze ezeh shnayim, that one could exempt the other through his saying of the bracha. Lechulei alma, everyone would agree with that. Vatam hoyov yoshvila choyachad aitol nitzarif, since they're sitting down to eat together, their mindset is to join together. Ve'echad mevorach lo'tzi chavero, and therefore one can exempt his friend with a bracha. Avol bebracha shel soif suda, but with regard to a final bracha at the end of a meal, shemestalkin ze mizeh, where they are parting ways, and you're dealing with two people, you don't have a formal zimun. Tzorach levorach kol echod li'atzmoi, since they're parting ways, you don't have a joining factor anymore. You have a detachment factor right now, so each one has to make his own bracha. V'yesh mitartzim d'yesh chiluk bein birchas hamotzi d'lo avya ki'im d'rabbanan. There are those that want to say a different distinction, that when it comes to birchas hamotzi, which is only of rabbinic origin, how can motziim zeh avol birchas hamazon shi midoraisa l'sham hichmir. But when it comes to birchas hamazon, and you don't have a formal zimun there, since birchas hamazon is the oraisa, therefore we are machmir, we're stringent, and do not allow one to be motzi the other. The next Tosfos, shloisha she'ochlu ke'echod, ein rashoyin l'chalek. At this point in the Gemara, the Gemara was dealing once again with the issue of can two have a zimun. So the Gemara had cited the Mishnah later on from Daf Nun that said that three who ate together, they cannot split up, and that would say that three cannot split up, but two do split up, indicating that that two do not have a zimun. So the Tosfos on this, Shlosh Shochel Kechot Ein Roshon Lechalek, Mipirush Rashi, Meforesh Rashi, Amai Ein Roshon Lechalek, Ho Echod Mipnei Hashnayim, why is it that when you have three people, that one cannot split from the two? Kevon Deshnayim Nami Mizamnin, if it were so, that two could have a Zimun, Lezel Hu, let him, the one person, go, V'ho Lo Mifka Bricha Zimun, and he doesn't undo their zimun. So from here you see that two cannot have a zimun, because if two could have had a zimun, so why shouldn't Shlosh Shachol, why can't they mechalik? Taimo, the question is raised. Dilma taimo deim shoyim mechalik. Maybe the reason that they cannot split up, mishum diyifteru lishlishi bebirchas hazimun. In other words, what the question is, if you follow the Rashi explanation, you don't see from here that two can't have a zimun. Two could have a zimun, but still ain't rashoin lechalik, because you're exempting, or you're voiding the third guy from the zimun. V'gam hu ein loy lahafkia mimenu birchas azimun. And he, the guy that leaves, shouldn't cast off the obligation of zimun from himself. So, just to review the point, if we follow the Rashi explanation, it's not so clear that what the Gemara is trying to prove, that two cannot have a zimun. We could tell you that two could have a zimun, and the only reason of ein rashoin lechalek is because they will be, the two that will have the zimun won't be including the third guy, and the guy that leaves early can't cast off, can't shirk off himself the zimun obligation. V'yesh loimar, Tosfos explains, the ikur pirchosoi Somich Asefa, Dikotoni, the ikur point of the Gemara, when the Gemara is challenging the Deya that says two could have a Zimun, we're bringing in the Mishnah from Daf Nun saying that two cannot, and we're really showing it from the end, from the continuation of the Mishnah, in other words, beyond that which is actually quoted over here. What does it say in the Sefa? Arbo Ein Rashoin Lechalik. Four cannot split. Here, this is very clear. Four cannot split. They can't make a group of, they can't make themselves into units of two and two. So that shows unequivocally that two cannot have a zimun. In other words, as far as the question level of the Gemara is concerned, this would be a conclusive or a solid question. And when the Gemara here quotes four lines from the bottom, and it quoted Shloshu Shlochu Kecho Chayim Lazam Vein Rashi Lechalek, you should have in your mind as if V'chule is written in, meaning etc., which means continue the reading, not relying on just the words here, but you have to continue reading the Mishnah over there, which also mentions four cannot Lechalek. V'chiyai Gavlin Tintin B'harbi Mekomos. Situations like this where the Gemara tries to make a point based on what seems to be the text quoted in the Gemara itself, but really the point is based on the v'chulei, the hemshech, the continuation of the source being quoted by the Gemara. V'teima, im kein amai lo makshi min hasefa behedya. If this is true, so then why didn't the Gemara simply quote the sefa? Al kein pirish Rebbeinu Yehuda. Devadei Porach Mei Reisha. Here you have a second approach. That's why we have our numbers in the Tosfos. The first approach was saying that the Ikur Pircha is from the continuation. But here the Rabbeinu Yehuda is saying, since the Gemara didn't cite that, it had a reason for not citing it. Its Ikur question is from the Reisha V'hochi Komar. Deleko L'meimar D'mishum Hayochid Ko'omar. The suggestion that we had mentioned before on the second line of this Tosfos, he says you can't really say that suggestion. In other words, that when the Mishnah there on Daf Nun says Shlosh Shachar Ein Rishon L'Chalek, you can't say that the objection is because of exempting or of ejecting the yochid, the individual who will be leaving early, and that that's the whole reason of Ein Rishon L'Chalek, because he'll be losing out on the Zimun. Then came, if the whole concern was the yochid over there, Havei Lei Lameimar, it should have said this thusly, Ein HaYochid Rashoi L'Chalek. Inami, Ein Echod Mehem Rashoi L'Chalek. One of these texts, but it doesn't say that. Avomidiktoni, Ein Rashoyin L'Chalek, they cannot split up. Mashma Miku'u Poka Zimun Im Nistar Kechod Mehem. From the fact that there's a collective expression, it says they cannot split up, it's not a reference to any one of them. That's all of them are equally restricted from splitting up, because if a split takes place, then all of them, including the two, will be losing out in the Zimun. And so from that, the Gemara is trying to show that two cannot be Mizame. All of this Tosfos, bear in mind, not to forget the forest for the trees, that we're dealing with the Hava Mina stage of the Gemara and trying to understand what was the Toshma trying to accomplish. And so Tosfos successfully showed how this was a good attempt. We continue on Omid Beis, the Tosfos at the top. This line of the Gemara, the Ha Meon Rashi Ketrei Gavri Damyon, this is a reference to the Tanaic source from which at which point the Gemara was trying to show that two could have a Zimun, because it said in that source that 100 women could have their own Zimun. And regarding that, the Gemara says that 100 women have a din of two men. So Tosfos at the top says, regarding a gathering for tefillah purposes, and regarding all matters that would require 10, so 100 women are like two men. And 100 women would be considered like three, and the same thing with regard to two. In other words, that they could have a zimun. Avo lo motzi lemeimar, but we are not going to say khad damyon, that 100 women are like one, de enon yecholos lezamein, and then conclude that they cannot have a zimun. Because the source says that women can be mezamein by themselves. The Rashi Piresh Ketrei the Inyan Choiva, that 100 women are like two men regarding obligation. They ain't chayovos lezamein. They're not obligated to have a zimun. The imrotzu mezamnos. But if they wanted to, they could have a zimun. It's optional. Vuadin l'shnayim, and likewise with regard to two women, that if they want, or should say likewise with regard to two men, that they could have a zimun. Just like three women have the option of a zimun, so two men would have the option of having a zimun. The next Tosfos, Shiny Hossam Deika Deos. The Gemara then rejected this attempt that though 100 women could have a Zimun, they are better than two men wanting to have a Zimun, because the multitude of women, you have many Deos, you have many people, many individuals there. That gives them greater strength than two men where you just have two people there. Mikan mashma de noshim yecholos lezamin la'atzmon. From this sugya, one comes away with the feeling that women can have their own zimun. The Gemara basically was rejecting the attempt to prove anything about two men and said to the contrary, the large group of women is better than two men, indicating the women could have the zimun, but not the two men. V'chein osu benos Rabbeinu Avram chomiv shol Rabbeinu Yehuda. The Rabbeinu Avram was the father-in-law of Rabbi Yehuda, had daughters, and who would make it make them Rabbi Yehuda's sisters-in-law, made their own zimun, al pi avihem, based on their father's instructions. Umi lo nagu olam came. That might be fine and good for Rabbeinu Avraham and his family, but the general Jewish practice is not like that. V'koshe amai lo nagu. The Tanaic source says, second line from the top, it sounds like it's saying that it's an instruction, a command to the women that they should have their own zimun. So why is the Olam not practicing what the source seems to encourage or dictate? V'yesh lomar, the answer, the expression of Noshim Mizam Sasman in the source, Hainu, it really means to say imrotsu lezame mizamnos, that it's optional for them if they should want to, so they have that option, but not that it's a dictate. V'chein mashma k'tzas haloshen. In fact, the language also points to this. Midiktoni besomuch, from the fact that it says in the same source in the continuation, it says noshim vavodim imrotsu lezamein e mizamnin. And here we emphasize the word rotsu. Here, if they should want to. So regarding a combined group of noshim and avodim, so their personal desire is not accepted. So in this, in reflecting, or in, we can infer back to the opening that noshim mzalsalsuin, if they should want to, they can. But the emphasis here is on rosin, if they want to, and it's not a dictate. Hence, explaining the minhag ha'olam where women don't exercise that option, and it's not a dictate that we thought before, and then it would be questionable, why don't the women follow the dictate when it's not a dictate in the first place? The oid, the medame le hagemora lishnayim, mashma de choyva leko, from the fact that the Gemara itself wanted to compare the case of the women to two. In the case of two, no one ever said that two was obligatory. Well, at least when it's three, it's obligatory, but two was a matter of option. So to the case of the women was an option and not an obligation. V'hodikomer bereish erichin hakol mechuyovin bezimun lasuyin noshim. The mission in erichin says everyone is mechuyovin bezimun, and that the hakol is coming to include women. And so it sounds like that women are obligated. No, lehin reshus kol mavelolim chova. That's only as far as an option. In other words, hakol mechuyovin bezimun means everyone has an option to have a zimun, including women. Here Tosfos is saying something that, working with a basic assumption that women have no knowledge of the language of the Hebrew, if we work with that assumption, they who do not understand it, it would be questionable whether they fulfill zimun whatsoever with the zimun of men. In other words, if men are having a zimun and women are present, are they yotzei whatsoever? After all, they are ein mevinos. They don't understand. V'yesh mevin raya she yotzeis. There are those that try to bring a raya that they do fulfill. Mida omar lekamon. From that which it says later in the Gemara, sofer mevarchu bur yotzei, that a knowledgeable person, a sofer, says the bracha and the ignoramus is yotzei. Mikan mashma, from the fact that the boor is yotzei, it seems the boor is an ignoramus. Mikan mashma shaf hanoshim yotzei brichas amazon shalanu, that women, if they listen to our brichas amazon, they would be yotzos. They would fulfill their brichas amazon requirements, even though they don't understand, just like the boor doesn't understand. Mihu yesh litchos oisa raya. However, you can reject that raya. the shiny boor. A boor is actually a higher level. Shemavin b'loshen hakodesh v'yodek tzas my ka'omar. He understands a bit of the Hebrew, and he understands in part what's being said. Aval eino yodeh. Why is he then a boor? Aval eino yodeh levorech. But he doesn't know how to enunciate the words. He doesn't know how to pronounce and conduct himself in a Birchas Hamazon. But as far as understanding, he understands, and therefore his listening is sufficient. Aval noshim she'einon mevinos klal. But women who don't understand whatsoever, Motzi lemeimar delonafki, there still is room to think, to suggest that they are not yoytze. They're not in fulfillment. V'hadam rino b'megillah, and that which it says in Maseches Megillah, Eloes Shishama Ashuris Yotza. Eloes is someone who is a foreign speaker. He's a non-Ashuris. Ashuris is a reference to Hebrew. So the Gemara there says that a non-Hebrew speaker, if he hears the Megillus Esther on Purim read in Hebrew, he is Yotze. Well, that would seem to run counter to what we're trying to say right now, where women who are also considered non-understanders are not Yotze. And yet in Megillah, the Loes that hears Ashuris is Yotze. So we answer that, Presume Nisa Ba'almo Shaini. There, the mitzvah of Megillah Esther is promulgation of the miracle of Purim. Kidamrin and Hossam. Just like the Gemara there says, the Pesuk in the Megillah itself uses words that even we, who supposedly understand the Hebrew, understand the original text, we have no clue as to what this means. And yet, we fulfill our Megillah requirement, though we're saying things we don't understand. So that we can ascribe to the fact that it's Pesumei Nisa. It's promulgation of the miracle. So where the mitzvah is promulgation of miracle, detailed or careful understanding of the text is unnecessary. But when it comes to Birchas HaMazon, there it's not a function of piersumness. Therefore, knowledge of what's being said might be necessary, and therefore women who are ein mevinos wouldn't be yotze with hearing the bracha of the men. And this is different than the case of the boor who his ignorance is reflected in the fact that he doesn't know how to read it, but understanding, he has an understanding, and therefore he is better off than women, and therefore can be yotze by hearing others. The next tosis deals with a textual issue, ihachi ema seifa, lo goras ihachi, we should not have in the text that expression. Because even at the outset, the Gemara could have asked from the Seifa, which says Ein Mezamnin, and the expression Ihochi Eimos Seifa would have communicated the idea that we didn't know that we could have asked that at the outset. Rav Zvid Omar Boruch Hu Umevorach. This Dibur HaMasul is a reference to the Gemara describing someone who came from the outside who had not eaten with other people, and he came and he found them, found a group of people that had finished eating and are now starting the Zimun. So what does he, the outsider, respond to what he hears? What does he say? So Rav Zvid said, he says, Baruch Umevorach. Rav Pop, on the other hand, said, Amen, and the Gemara resolved that there is no machlokis, but Rav Zvid is referring to his coming at an early point in the Zimun, and Rav Pop referring to a case where he came at the end of the Zimun. The Tosfos, Rav Zvid Omar, Baruch Hu Umevorach, Ubahag Pasak, the Baal Lochas Gedolos rules that the text should be as follows. For the non-eater who happens to hear people in a Zimun, he should say, the non-eater, the outsider, should say, Baruch Hu Umevorach, Shmo Tomi Liolom Voed. The Avi Asora, and if this outsider is coming in and sees a group of 10 people that are starting a Zimun, Ani Basrayim, he should respond, Baruch Hu Elokeinu Umevorach, Shmo Tomi Liolom Voed. That would be the appropriate response. If you're coming at the to a group of 10 people, and you're coming, you're showing up at the beginning of their Zimun. Ha b'vonu Yerushalayim, ha b'shar brachas. This was a reference to the halach of the Gemara, ha'ayna omein achar b'rchoysav. One who answers omein after his bracha. So we saw there were two sources. One said it's positive to answer omein after your brachas, and the other says it's negative. And in resolving the two sources, we said, well, it's positive in the case of Bonei Yerushalayim, which is the third bracha, Birchas Hamazon. And there, one is to be oine omein achar b'rchoysav. Say omein at that point, at the end of the bracha of Bonei Yerushalayim. Pirush Rabbeinu Chananel v'aloches gilolus, diyesh meforshim b'chol bracha u'bracha, kigon achar yishtabach v'chayotze bo. That not only after you Bonei Yerushalayim is it Meshubach to answer Amen, but after other brachos as well, it's Meshubach. And the other example that Tosfos cites is after Yishtabach, the Chayotzebo, and other similar circumstances, similar situations. What are those other similar situations where you have a closing bracha which closes a group of brachos, or it closes a theme? Umiu pok chazi my amadabar, but go out and see how people are noheg. Shelo noagulano isomein elachar boni shalayim de brachas amazon. As far as Tosfos is concerned, and here you'll notice people who are aware of different communal practices, there are communities that in fact after yishtabach will answer amen, you know, to their own yishtabach. But once again, Tosfos claims that our minhag, the minhag that Tosfos was familiar with in the Tosfos communities, the answering of Omein after one's own bracha would be only in the case of the Bonei Yerushalayim. Rav Ashi Oni Lei V'Lachisha, we saw in the Gemara two practices of the answering of the Omein after Bonei Yerushalayim, volume-wise, decibel-level-wise. Rav Abaye would say it in an audible fashion, and Rav Ashi in a quiet fashion. V'chein pasak halochas gedolos. The Bahag likes the Rav Ashi approach. V'od l'didon d'leka poyalim afilu Abaye mode. And for us who don't have workers that are assembled around the meal, we don't eat with our workers, so even Abaye agrees. Abaye was saying that you say it out loud on a practical level, because that would inform the workers who are exempt from saying the Hatova Meitiv, because they're working and getting paid by the hour, they leave. It's an announcement, so to speak, for them to leave. But Abaye will acknowledge it. If you're not in a worker situation, so do like Rav Ashi and answer and say the Omein in a quiet fashion. This concludes our Tosfos Shiur for today.